This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You got to have me on for Talk Like a Pirate Day again this year because I choke. I need a second swing at that one.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Oh, rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you.
Respected Chiefs journalist Matt Derrick joins us right now here on Almost Entirely Sports on respected radio station Sports Radio 810. It's a weird day we're having already.
Oh, man, it's weird.
Takes me back to me being in a bathtub when I was 4 years old and rocking that song.
Just freaking
I think everyone
it.
Should visualize that right now.
I've never been able to visualize young versions of people. I just visualize their exact same head on a kid's body. Because I can scale down, you know, to make you 2 feet tall or whatever, but that and your head the exact same size. If you say, hey, imagine me as a child,
it's just
shrink ray.
Matt Derrick's head on a four-year-old body.
Yeah, picture me with a bowl cut.
Yes!
On our four-year-old body.
Matt nailed it. Matt is currently scrolling through his Facebook.
I know I don't have a four-year-old picture of myself. I know I have a picture of me in the second grade that I can show
that
you.
That sounds excellent. We are out here at Topgolf in support of ShareWaves, a new charity venture powered by Sports Radio 810. I'm going to get this verbiage down before the end of the show today.
Because we are the power of sports.
We're enriching young lives with the power of sports, I would say, as a thing that I thought of just now, top of my head.
Good job.
You can learn more about ShareWaves at sharewavesfoundation.org. Matt, do you golf?
I do. For whatever reason, I have fallen out of the habit. Played a lot in my young days. I became about a 6 to 10, time of year guy. Now I haven't played in 2 years. So I went out there and pretty well embarrassed myself.
It can't be because of that just hectic NFL schedule with Patrick Mahomes being involved, right?
That doesn't interfere with it. No, whatsoever. Because the time that I'm free is, when it's 108 degrees outside. That's the ideal time to play golf
that's
in Kansas City.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like you having just not played in a while still has you as like one of the like good odds to put the money on bet because you're sneaking in as like I didn't know that you had ever golfed. I didn't have that inside information, but maybe you'd be sneaky good at it. You're saying you've not though.
No, I'm not. As I was telling Adam Teicher earlier today, I'm wildly inconsistent.
That's fair.
I could birdie a hole and then pick up a 12 in the next hole.
You're basically the Chiefs' run defense of golfers.
You know what? That's a pretty good example.
I feel like it is.
It really is.
I talked to Teicher a second ago. No, I mean earlier, not on the radio. He refused.
He walked by. Josh was like, hey, will you come on? And he just gave him an uppercut and walked off.
Based on what I've experienced so far, that's a pretty good call.
What do you think Teicher would have done with bathtub party day, huh? I asked him if he had...
I bet he knows, actually.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Tyshe's been celebrating bathtub parties since before we were born. Oh, here's a picture of young Matt Derrick. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Which one are you?
I'm the one in the USA.
That's what I thought.
That's 1980 Olympic team jersey right there.
That is so good. That is so excellent.
That is great.
I asked Teicher if he golfed, and he said that he gave it up several years ago because he didn't have the temperament for it. And literally, just the only thing I could think of was, that makes sense. So I said that. And
this is awesome because this is a picture of me at high school.
I've seen this.
And this is great on the radio, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is,
you guys
this is.
You tweeted
radio.
This out.
This is great radio.
It's me with my 1989 haircut and the jean jacket and the watch that you currently own, I believe.
Yes. I'm not wearing either that jacket or watch right now, but I have that wardrobe.
Man, that right there in that picture, that looks like a man who's right about to just to announce his college decision. I will be attending the University of Missouri. Oh, they just fired their coach. No, sorry, I will be going tomorrow.
80s Matt Derrick is style goals
strong.
For me.
Yeah,
that's what I'm working
yeah,
for.
That's something else right there. Yeah,
that's spectacular.
I love today's technology, but there is a part of me that's like, man, like 80s. Growing up in the 80s with that fashion, that'd been pretty good.
So what Matt's currently showing me is Hold on. If there's a pun here, I want to figure it out. It's him standing next to a man in a Scooby-Doo costume wearing a number 22 Chiefs jersey. So I'm trying to see if there's a Scooby-Doo Marcus Peters, a Scooby-Doo Dexter McCluster,
this
a Scooby-Doo Juan Thornhill.
This was 10 or 12 years ago. So, gosh, I can't remember who 22 would have been back then. And I don't know this dude.
10 years ago?
We just ran into him outside of Arrowhead Stadium. And I'm like, oh, you see this dude over here? He's dressed as Scooby-Doo, and he's got, like, this skinny cigar in his mouth.
It's a weird look.
With sunglasses. And I'm like, oh, I gotta take a picture of this guy.
Scooby-Dukester McCluster.
Yeah, yeah. That's
it, right? It's got
to
be.
I'm trying to figure out just, right, like, there. All that's, the players have worn 22.
It has the Lamar Hunt patch, so it's at least since then. Which could have been, that might have been 10 years ago, but Dexter McCluster was like that. I bet that's a DMC jersey.
It could very well be a DMC. That would probably be the right era, yeah.
I bet that is Scooby-Doo Scooter McCluster.
Ooh, Ted McKnight was 22.
I don't think it was him.
No, I think much more likely to be a DMC.
Chiefs fans were hyphy for Dexter McCluster.
Oh, yeah.
Because Dexter McCluster was going to be the next Dante Hall.
Yes.
It was just a clone.
And then D'Anthony Thomas was going to be the next Dexter McCluster, and then Tyreek Hill was better than all of those guys you just mentioned.
Yeah.
It's a weird path. Yeah. That's a weird Pokemon evolution we have there for a minute.
It's like the opposite way.
Yeah. No?
McCluster would be the second. D'Anthony Thomas would be
Matt,
the first.
Thank you for being here.
Tyreek Hill would be
the
third.
Yeah, I've really taken this off the rails, haven't I?
The thing I wanted to ask you, the reason I wanted you to be on the show this tonight, is who is better, Dexter McCluster or D'Anthony Thomas?
I think I would go with, as an offensive player,
I'm going to have to go with McCluster. As a returner, I want that back there. Unless it's opening night 2007 or whatever, and then, McCluster's your guy.
Yeah.
After that,
he had a moment. He had a moment.
He had a moment. Mm-hmm. But he had some solid moments offensively, which D'Anthony just never quite hit.
Do you remember what they said whenever they drafted him, what his position was going to be?
Gosh. I remember it was good.
There was an acronym. I mean, it's two letters. Two-letter acronym. I'll tell you, he was going to be an OW.
Ooh, offensive weapon.
Thank you, Rudy, for not letting Matt guess.
I would have said he was going to be Slash, but...
Nope. They drafted Dexter McCluster and said, hey, coach, is he going to be an RB or a WR?
He's going to be an OW.
Nothing. Neither of those. He's going to be an OW, baby. Offensive weapon. Let's go.
Okay. May have oversold it a bit.
He was more of like a FT. He was like a fast toy. That was not where
I was guessing that was going. So I'm
what else was the FT going to be? Could it be anything?
I honestly don't know, but it was a fast toy did not pop
gonna,
in my
I'm
head.
Like the venture I'm going to stick with.
FaceTime?
Full Train? What was that you said?
No, it was a fast toy.
Fast toy, there you go. Fast Train, I would probably not also really made any sense.
But it would have been better. What's harder to tackle, a fast train or a fast toy? Or a fast toy train?
How big is this toy?
I don't think it, but I,
not
yeah.
toy, not train size at that point. Rudy, just a train.
You know, 5'8", 170 probably can't be a train though. So
that's you know what
he was probably a bigger than that.
Don't tell that to D Train. Don't tell that.
Well, no,
to Darwin
he's a
Thompson.
He's a rocked up 200.
All right, fair enough.
Have you seen those legs?
He's got at least 30 pounds more muscle than the cluster head.
Is he not shorter than him though by a little bit?
He might be because D Train's he's a little undersized, but he is rocked up as they like to say.
That's true,
and it's not underselling. I mean, he's rocked up.
It's not, and like I respect. The fact that he's in that good of shape because I know how hard it is to be that sort of just like muscle.
And if you haven't seen it close up, you know, you can go to ChiefsDigest.com right now. There's a picture.
Or you can follow my Instagram.
Of Darwin Thompson. You can see the muscles rippling.
You can see
mine. If you follow Josh's Instagram, you get pictures of Anthony Sherman. If you want to see Darwin Thompson, you go to ChiefsDigest.com.
That's good.
You know, it's just different things for different folks, you know?
So is he the forever savior of the Chiefs running back position? Are they about to become the Baltimore Ravens because now they have Darwin Thompson finally breaking through with all of his rocked upness?
I want to see more. I mean,
how dare you? How dare you not just say yes?
I mean, there's still a lot to prove. I mean, and even though Andy Reid did say this week that he's really improved with his pass blocking and his protections, I still think there's a little bit left on the table that he can pick up.
That seems
but
fair.
I need to see more. I mean, we saw enough of him in training camp and preseason that I think that got to give him a chance. And I've really been surprised at the few times that we saw him. He'd really been a decoy this year, as being somebody that they put in motion. Because, and when they have put him out there, I mean, he's usually been wide open. So I'm not quite sure why they weren't getting him the ball. But I want to see more. I mean, the Raiders knew the Chiefs were going to run the football.
Yes.
And he still averaged almost 4.5 yards a carry. That's better than the really production anybody else are getting. So
yeah.
I need to see more.
And you brought this up to Andy Reid on Monday. Was that about LeSean McCoy? Was that load management for LeSean McCoy?
Load management for McCoy?
And he said it was load management for Darwin Thompson. And the load is he's going to give him all of the carries. And so I do think that, like, the Chiefs also wanted to see more. Like, they know what LeSean McCoy is. Both Williamses were hurt at that point. And so, like, again, by necessity, they're probably going to give it to Darwin Thompson because you're not going to give late-game useless carries to LeSean McCoy. Otherwise, you're just putting Anthony Sherman back there, which you could have done. You could have handed it to him three times and then punted. Like,
and I think that on that 14-play drive, wasn't it 13 runs and 11 of them were Darwin Thompson and two Sherman? Mm-hmm. So
I do think that there's something to you want to see more. I want to see more. I think the Chiefs wanted to see more, and he didn't do anything to undercut that. Certainly,
no. I mean, he did what you needed him to do. I mean, it wasn't flashy. It wasn't like he just went out there and I think a lot of people thought, oh, he's going to get there, get the ball, and it's going to be 20 yards of carry and go nuts.
Yeah.
It wasn't that, but also it was tough conditions. I don't know, the offensive line's been necessarily been playing great for the run game, so there's that. But I think he did enough, and I think there's enough there. I mean, the knock is always going to be that a guy that size can't handle a full workload. And but the reality of it is that in the NFL today, those days are gone. I mean, you know, running backs just don't get those kind of touches anymore. They do spread it around. And I got to give credit to Adam Teicher on this one because he mentioned it earlier today to me that, what, the Chiefs have not had a running back get more than 13 carries in any game this year?
Wow. I mean, that checks out.
That checks out. I mean, that's
a pretty startling stat.
Because unless you get one of the maybe six or seven guys in the league that are just unique, you know, get an Ezekiel Elliott or something, that's what the league is now. And that's why I think that the Chiefs were fine getting a guy like Darwin Thompson, because they know, hey, if he can develop into an 8 to 12 touch guy per game, that can be a really valuable weapon.
And if they get six from Spencer Ware, and you can give, you feel comfortable giving 12 to LeSean McCoy. He probably only fumbles it two or three times in those 12, you know, at his current pace. You give a handful to the Williamses. Like, whatever that rotation is, that's functional. It's not earth-shattering, but that's not the part of the offense you're relying on.
Right.
So, yeah, I feel relatively good about that strategy. It also keeps you from either by draft or by cash putting too much into a running back from an asset perspective. Because those dudes disintegrate over time.
And give it to Brett Veach. I mean, they've got a little bit of money to a few guys, but they really don't have that much money tied up in that position.
Yeah.
And you know, for the price that they've got tied up in it, you know, as a percentage of the cap, and especially when you compare it to other teams, the production may not be what you want it to be this year, but. I mean, I think it's still a value. I mean, I don't think that they're losing money at that running back position.
Yeah, 100%. One thing that Mahomes talked about a little bit today, and it's been the we're in a weird place whenever I say, the thing I've been talking about for the better part of the last 3 weeks has been the offensive line. That's not really me, Matt. I think I'm bringing smart conversations to the table on a frequent basis. Shut up. But
he's on a roll. Let him go.
Come on, Rudy. Get out of my way.
Sorry, go.
I am not really power blocking, power offensive line, mauling on the ground guy. My eyes tend to follow the flashy thing. I like talking about quarterbacks and receivers. On the defensive side, I can play around back there. But on the offensive side, I like the shiny objects. And this offensive line on multiple occasions this year has prevented me from seeing all of the shine from the shiny object. So now I've got, now this matters to me because Patrick Mahomes, to throw the football, is taking a 42-step drop and then shooting a fadeaway jumper. I don't want that anymore. I want to see him. This is not really a criticism of Mahomes, although I think we can talk about if he's seeing some phantom pressure out there. But I would like to see him at least have the choice to stand in the pocket, survey the field, and then shoot a bleeping cannon 60 yards downfield to Mecole Hardman. I would like that back, and I haven't seen that in a minute.
The offensive line is like a high-speed internet connection. You don't notice it until it's not there.
Yes.
That is a really good comparison. Yeah.
And I don't
I can't disagree with you.
I don't need a 14 gigabit connection either for $300. I need 50 megabytes per second or whatever I'm currently paying for at my apartment for $40 a month. That's great. But whenever it goes out, I'm writing an angry letter to my internet provider. I'm trying to battle online in my Pokemon game.
Josh is on Twitter.
You're making some calls. Tweets. I mean, the offensive line has been an enigma this year. It really has because. Yeah. You know, the Chiefs, they like this group. I mean, clearly like this group because they've committed to them for a while. It's a mixture of, you know, young guys that are cheap and some guys who've been around for a while. And they're not really paying anybody a ton either. You know, Eric Fisher makes good coin, but as far as a left tackle goes, he's actually reasonably paid.
Yeah.
And I think the production exceeds that. Now, the problem has been that you haven't had Eric Fisher most of the year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's an issue. I know there's people that maybe are having some quibbles with LDT in his pass blocking. And once again, you haven't always had him all this year, too. I think you almost have to give this offensive line a bit of a pass because of all of the injuries and the lineup changes and the shuffling that they've had to go through. But it's go time. I mean, if they don't have it figured out in the next month, and this offensive line can't do it, then I think you're going into the offseason and saying, you know what, we need to make some changes here.
And the Raiders game for me really was, and so I could this is going to stun some people, I could be overreacting, but shut up again. But the Raiders game, it was sort of the thing that moved the needle a little bit for me because it was a continuing pattern where we know Mahomes is healthy, we know the offensive line's back together. You know, Fisher had a rough game. Against the Titans, because you're like, oh, this dude's like he's out here labor, or against the Chargers, because he's out here laboring a little bit. You can see he doesn't
against
seem 100%
really good defensive end.
Yes, absolutely. And that wasn't like, oh, Eric Fisher's not ready for this. It's just like, oh, he's still banged up, but he gets the bye. Everyone gets the bye, and then out of the bye week against a pass rush that's been sort of surprisingly good this year in the Raiders. They're not incompetent by any means whatsoever, but like, you know, Cleveland Farrell isn't Khalil Mack, and the interior pressure, like I don't run the ball at Jonathan Hankins on 4th-and-1, but I don't want to see Patrick Mahomes limited by either in reality or in his perception the issues with the interior offensive line. So do you think that there's something to be said for maybe Mahomes could do a little more of stepping up today? He talked about drifting back and how he needs to keep hitching in the pocket to actually stay there instead of fading out. Do you think that's a real thing? And if so, how much are you keeping an eye on that right now?
I mean, I do think it's a real thing, and I'm trying to dig into it, and I'm not far enough into it to probably speak eloquently about it right now. But you know,
never stopped any of us before.
But what's really was missing the last two games against the Chargers and the Raiders is the deep ball. We talk about it. It's a fast break offense that likes to move in big plays and chunks and move quickly, and they haven't done that the last two games. Now I thought the Chargers actually had a pretty good game plan, and I thought that they took away the Chiefs RPO game pretty well. And that's kind of bread and butter for what the Chiefs like to do. I mean, when they move the ball just in chunks and short yardage, it's that RPO game that's really got them going, and both on the ground and in the pass. But I thought the Chargers really took that away. But the other thing, and I think this goes back to the last 3 weeks, I think this offense's play calling has been pretty predictable.
Yeah.
I don't think it surprised anybody. I mean, it certainly didn't surprise Tennessee because they even said it after the game. You know, we saw a lot of – I mean, we knew what was coming in a lot of these places. I wonder just how much of it, and in particular against the Chargers and the Raiders, Andy Reid thinks, you know what, we can win this game. We don't have to show the Patriots everything.
Yeah. He also got asked about that today, and he said, you know, we have so many looks and different packages that, you know, we're gonna be showing a variety of stuff regardless. And I believe that to an extent. But I also think we have evidence of Andy Reid and Bill Belichick both saving some of their best
they will
work.
Bank material. Because – And Mahomes talked about it today. You are going to see unscouted looks from the Patriots defensively that you haven't seen this year. It might be something they haven't shown in a couple of years.
We haven't played any of that audio yet today because this whole show, as I said earlier, has just sort of been like a big old Coke bender, I guess. I mean, I've never beer just been on Coke benders, but it's only the drink.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most.
I like the implication that your show is usually this well-timed, well-oiled machine that just runs with Swiss precision.
So I was watching a couple of days ago on the – actually, it's better than Sunday. On one of the TVs, I had the Chiefs game. And on the other TV, it's stuck. The channel is stuck on ESPN. And on ESPN, they were doing that Japanese game show but Americanized, The Slippery Stairs. You don't know. But I think Matt might not. They basically – they get these contestants that are wearing, like, morph suits, essentially. And they have to climb up these, like, rubber stairs – and the whole flight of stairs is just covered in, like, gel. And there are a couple other words I could use, but I'm going to just go with gel for now. And so the stairs are, believe it or not, slippery. And so as they're trying to climb up these stairs, they're all falling, and they're falling into each other. They're all wearing, like, a morph suit and a helmet. It's hilarious. It's good television. You can just look up slippery stairs, you know, whenever you get home. You're like, you know, I need some entertainment to take me to sleep here. But then at some point during Slippery Stairs, the people at the top are also throwing dodgeballs at them. That's today's show. This show is always Slippery Stairs. Today there's also been dodgeballs thrown at us. Yeah.
Or golf balls.
Or golf balls,
which would hurt more.
Yeah.
I don't remember if there was an end to that other than sort of explaining that. We haven't played the audio yet.
that's the point.
But on the Unscouted Looks front, like, the thing that I've heard also is that, you know, you almost have to go into this game with two game plans because the Patriots are going to come into this game with two game plans. If that first one is fading at all, second half, they're just going to start doing different things. But on the Unscouted Looks, it's such a good phrase because it really summarizes, like, hey, why is that a problem? Can't you just read and react? You can, but people, I think, probably underestimate how much of the game planning ends up really mattering on game day. And the Patriots are random chance that they're very good at catching teams off guard.
And I think you may really hit on something there that I think a lot of, you know, just everyday fans, and even I think even hardcore fans, don't truly appreciate, which is the amount of time that these players and coaches go through watching film.
Yep.
So that they, you know, go into a game and it's like, you know what, if I see these 11 defensive players in this formation, I know exactly what's coming at me.
Yeah.
Because I have seen this so many times. And Mahomes in particular, because, you know, whether he has this eidetic memory or not, I mean, he's got a really good memory to the point where he can see a look and say, you know what, even if it's not something he saw on film, it might be something, you know what, I saw the Ravens throw this at me.
Yeah.
They were in the exact same spot. I know what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, Belichick is really good at, you know, self-scouting himself and knowing, you know what, I haven't pulled this out. We haven't shown this look in 3 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you know what, there's a reason why some teams are not successful as franchises and others are, because it's details like that. Because I'll tell you what, there's not every NFL team does that. And not every NFL team has the coaching staff to be able to do that. Now, Andy Reid is one of those guys offensively.
Yeah.
He will do that. And they clearly, you know, when they're going through the Patriots, I would not be surprised if Patrick Mahomes would tell you that he has seen film of every Patriots game from the last 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Because, and we're talking even like just week, because the guy is a film nut. He just eats it up, and he's got the ability to remember it. And that's a lot of it, because it's not just, as you said, it's not always even just knowing that you saw this look that the Patriots had, because they could be stealing a look that they saw that works against Mahomes elsewhere.
Yep.
And that's what I think, you know, really is truly underappreciated, that how much the success of a quarterback like Mahomes is all to do with what happens Monday through Saturday and not as much to do with what he does on Sunday.
And that, I mean, like, whenever I go back and we'll watch a specific play or whatever, I'm just trying to learn something. Like, there was Ted Gwynn of The Athletic had like an article like a month ago. I was like, hey, here's how to watch film and be a smarter football viewer or whatever. And I read that whole article, and I ended up, of the 50 things you put out there, I like internalized 5 of them, and I've caught myself, you know, doing that when I'm actually watching. If you ever go back and watch film, or you watch a highlight and you don't follow the ball, you follow what else is happening around, there's no bleeping way that you can see all of this for the first time and then still make the right play, make the right throw, make the right decision, because there's just too much happening. And then even whenever you see what you think you see, Derek Carr thought he knew what was happening, but Tyrann Mathieu knew what was really happening on his interception. The amount of chess pieces that are moving there is something I'm still growing to appreciate, because it's seriously overwhelming.
Yeah. I will tell you, I mean, yeah, the majority of plays that players in the NFL make have nothing to do with physical ability, has nothing to do with, you know, keeping up with somebody, anything like that. It's has to do with, you know what, I saw this. I know what's coming. And the anticipation is not the reaction on the field of just being able to instantly read what a player is doing with their movement. It starts before the snap with, you know what, when this player lines up in this spot and then goes in motion or breaks off the line this way, this is where the play is going. And that you don't just see that on Sunday. It's because, you know, Wednesday night you're watching film at 11 o'clock and you saw it then.
What do you look at whenever you say, okay, here's something that either is being under-discussed or just could end up being a really big deal in Chiefs-Patriots on Sunday?
Good question. I mean,
thank you. That's because of all those podcasts I listen to Wednesday night at 11 o'clock. I'm just trying to listen to good interviewers.
Yeah.
I watched a couple of Howard Stern clips earlier today. I watched a clip of him talking to Hillary Clinton.
What did he say about this?
Well, he was interviewing Hillary Clinton, and now I am Howard Stern, and you are my Hillary
Clinton.
Oh,
okay.
So
there you go.
Yep. That's what's happening here.
I mean, I don't
know. I saw the situation on film.
I don't. And clearly I haven't watched enough film, because now I'm just lost out here. I'm reacting. I'm not. I'm thinking too much. I'm not reacting enough.
I literally just turned my back to Matt because I couldn't look him in the eyes after the dumb thing I just said. Go ahead, Madam President.
I'm completely stumped.
Someone is genuinely mad that I made a joke about Hillary Clinton just now. That gives me great joy. So what do you
it's
think?
It's almost
what
entirely sports, Josh. It's almost entirely sports.
What do you? Answer the question, Matt.
What was the question again? No.
Did you order the code red?
Darn right, I ordered the code red.
Mountain Dew, code red.
I mean, part of why it's hard for me to answer is the question, because I feel like here we are on Wednesday, and every aspect of this game has been overanalyzed already.
Yes, it happened very quickly.
Because here's what I know a little bit about football. I don't know everything. I mean, Andy Reid's forgotten more about football than I will ever know.
100%.
But here's why I don't waste a lot of time on a game like this one trying to figure out what these two teams are going to do, because nobody knows what these two teams are going to do.
Yep.
I mean,
you're right.
Just because, I mean, you know, the Patriots, both these teams have come into these games over the years, and this is, you know, speaking of just how good these two teams are, this game never plays out the way that conventional wisdom thinks.
You're right.
Because they're playing 4D chess. I mean, these are two of the best tacticians in the league.
Yep.
And, you know, you're not going to figure out what they're going to do. I mean, so to me, it's almost wasted effort trying to figure out, you know, what the game plan strategy for these two teams going to be, because you can say to the, you know, Patriots, okay, offensively, they need to figure out how to move the football.
Yep.
Because they haven't been doing that real well lately. Well, you know what? Sometimes against Chiefs, they figure it out.
Yeah.
And Chiefs, sometimes defensively, can figure things out.
Let me do this then. Because I don't want to ask you to be predictive in that way, because you're right. Me asking anyone to be predictive of Andy Reid and Bill Belichick is dumb. Whenever you look at what you've seen from the Chiefs this season and the way they've developed in places and the way maybe they haven't developed enough in other places, I give you the Chiefs season to this point. What should they be worried about?
I mean, if the Chiefs lose this game, I mean, I think part of it obviously is that the defense will probably have let them down, but I think you'll also look back at it and say, you know, James White just absolutely torched this team. I mean, offensively, if the Patriots are going to do anything, it seems like that's where it's going to start, because that's where the Chiefs have had troubles. The advantage is that the Chiefs are in a position where, frankly, they could give a little bit more attention to him than they have to other teams, because there's not a lot of other threats. I mean, you got to watch Edelman, but there's nobody else in this offense that scares you.
Yep.
And there's not a tight end that you have to shut out and keep away. I mean, you can really spend a lot of your time on James White and Julian Edelman and let somebody else beat you. If they do,
yeah,
so be it.
Yeah.
Because right now the Patriots don't have anybody else on that offense that can beat you.
The safety play of these last couple of weeks, really, I mean, just developing over the season, but I feel like it probably really came to a head against the Raiders, specifically the safety play, gives me something close enough to resembling confidence in how they can deal specifically with Julian Edelman for 11 damn yards that I actually think the defense might not be screwed here.
No, I think so, because part of it, I think that Steve Spagnuolo may have finally figured out what he has.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw him spend the first 10 weeks of the season really tinkering.
Yeah.
And you saw a lot of different lineups and a lot of different combinations. And they still do some mixing and matching. But you've gotten to the point where you're reliably seeing three safeties on the field at a time. Tyrann Mathieu's just playing at the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's almost playing a corner position at this
yeah.
point, the way he's been playing. And they're using Thornhill a little bit differently than they did
yep.
early in the season. And it's helped that the playing time has helped Thornhill come along, so he's more developed. And I think they're using Sorensen in a way that he's more comfortable, too.
Yeah.
But having Sorensen out there in the right situations, in the right positions, has helped them solve a little bit of that running back problem. And because I think that's what they've had to do. I mean, they don't really have a linebackers that can play with a running back
right.
and cover. So they finally figured that out. And since they figured that out, it seems like they've been steadily improving.
I felt a growing confidence in the defense altogether, and it's only continued to grow, and I'm ready for my heart to be broken. And if it happens, it's going to be in this game.
It's possible. It's possible. But I think there's a reason that you have faith in this defense, because I think the arrow is trending up.
I'm now asking you to be predictive again. If you had right now to try to take the summation of all of this and predict how you expect this game to go, it would go how?
I mean, I almost kind of think that there's not any reason to expect that it's going to play out any differently than maybe the last couple of games have,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, I think the Chiefs are going to be taking their jabs early and maybe not finding the targets offensively. That's going to take them a little bit of time to figure out what Belichick is doing to them. You know, the one when Andy Reid's had a lot of time to prepare for Bill Belichick and put together a game plan.
Yep.
You give him 6 months,
yes.
he'll take care of Bill Belichick.
You're right.
You know, 1 week kind of evens the playing field a little bit, and it puts Belichick, I think, in command a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots do take a little bit of early advantage. It's how much of an advantage they take. I mean, if they jump out to a 17-3 lead at the half, Patriots are probably going to hold on to win this game. If the Chiefs can keep it close, keep within a score, keep within a field goal, have a lead at the half, we're going to win. I mean, I don't think this Patriots team is not built to do what they have done in the past without Gronkowski.
Which one do you think is going to happen?
I mean,
it's just us, Matt. It's just you, me, and Rudy, and everyone at Topgolf.
It's just you, me, and Rudy, and everybody at Topgolf.
And then all the people listening now, and then all the people listening to the podcast later.
I have been searching for a reason to believe that the Chiefs are going to lose this game all week.
Relatable.
I still haven't found it.
Same! So Chiefs 42, nothing?
I don't think that, but...
42-10? 34-10? 34-14?
27-23?
I'll take it. I'll take it. That would make me very happy. The Patriots are favored, right, against the spread?
Okay, I haven't seen the spread. I assume they have to be.
I would imagine they are. So there we go. We don't have to worry about the spread. The Chiefs are going to win by 4. Thanks, Matt. That's gospel now. You've spoken that into existence. And now
kind of Garfield trip. It's pretty awesome.
It is. It's... What's Shane? Shane, we're trying to do a radio show.
Hey, Shane.
We have Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com and WHB.com right here with us. And we're just trying to wrap up the interview in like a cool way. Here, Shane, come here. Hold on.
Shane.
What? Shane's trying to kiss me. Shane, come here. Listen, I'm going to tell everyone right now. We're at Topgolf. We're here with ShareWaves, sharewavesfoundation.org for more information at ShareWaves. This is Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com, HWHB.com. He'll be on. Is he on with you guys tomorrow?
Friday,
I'll be on with The Zone again. What time? 11 o'clock, according to Shane. You can follow. Listen, I only listen whenever I'm on. You can follow. Tomorrow at 1, I'm on The Zone. What's the show called? You can follow Matt Derrick on Twitter, at Matt Derrick. Have we sufficiently plugged everything?
And you can see pictures of Darwin Thompson at ChiefsDigest.com.
His book is Showtime.
Well, there you go.
Matt's Matt's book is still available for a Christmas present right now, which I never got a copy of because Matt doesn't love me as much as he loves every other show at the station.
What?
Oh, I got a copy.
Beard's got a copy.
Beard's got a copy.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm the only one in the bar raising my hands. And now I haven't bought one yet.
Even these people got copies.
It's Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 10. Hey, Shane, throw us to break.
Go to break, Beards.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I'm not asking if anybody went to sleep last night with an empty bottle of liquor under their arm.
Or 12.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I'm not asking if anybody else... what? If anybody else went to bed last night sleeping on top of 15 bottles of Fireball.
Actually, it's a waterbed, and instead of water, it's booze, and I just have a straw in it.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Okay, so, Beards, what is the pun that you're doing right now?
The song is Fall Out Boy, Gin Joints.
Yes, the gin joints in the world, for all I care, or something like that. That's very good. I appreciate that.
It's just in the file here. It just says gin joints, so that's, you know.
I will say Brian Haney has walked by, and he is wearing a KU shirt, mm-hmm. which is how I know it's not Jason Anderson. if I could get you guys at some point to just stand side by side, maybe one of these days, yeah. I'm going to get the two of them to just read a script, and I just want Beards back at the station. I want you to just figure out if you can tell who's talking. Brian, can you do us a favor really quick? Can you put this headset on and just say, welcome into the zone, I'm Jason Anderson.
I love it. Welcome into the zone, alongside Corey Anderson, I'm Jason Anderson. And no, we are not brothers.
It's perfect.
I can't.
It's perfect.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I feel like we could just also have you guys stand side by side. Reed, would you like to tell the story of a meeting? Was it meeting Jason for the first time?
Oh, no, so it was, I don't know if you remember, you came by tickets for this new office, you gave Petro a jersey, and I remember I just kind of, like, I was, like, looking down at my laptop, I glanced up, I was like, yeah, Jason's coming by, and then all of a sudden you walked in, and I heard you talking, I'm like, no, that's not Jason, I looked up, I was like, no, that's Brian, like, I just kind of glanced, I was like, I thought Jason was walking in.
Yeah.
Several people have told me this. Can I record one more liner while
we're
live?
I would love that.
Beards Market.
Okay. Hey, this is Jason Anderson from The Zone, and I love Kansas. Bill Self, Les Miles, Rock Chalk, Jayhawk, Go KU. Catch me weekdays on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I love it.
Beards, if you could just save that.
Oh, I marked it.
Beards, save that in Shane's folder, in the Zone folder. Corey, we like that in the Zone folder. We can that forever. Now, I need Jason to come by, and we're going to have him say, I'm Brian Haney, and I don't believe in Les Miles. That's going to be what I'm afraid of right now.
Fellas, great to see you. Thanks for letting me drop by.
Thank you for coming through, Jason. I appreciate all of the work you do. The show's been great. 4 hours a day is a lot of work.
It is. But when you love Kansas as much as I, Jason Anderson, do, it's really, the pleasure is all mine.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
This was excellent. I'm still not, he just left and I still don't know who he just talked to. I'm still completely
still
confused.
Beards,
did you have a game that you wanted to play? I'm confused.
I've got a game. Beards got a game.
Oh,
Hold up. Nope. Brian's got a headset.
I think he's taking a picture. I think it's for a picture.
Oh, okay. So he's putting on a headset, but it's okay. The mic's on, so
yeah, we'll leave the mic on.
Don't say, like, take my bleeping picture or anything. The camera's that way, Corey. We're just taking a picture now. Beards, go ahead and say what you're going to say.
So I had put in the search date in our podcasting thing for Brett the Party Day for last year.
Happy Bathtub Party Day Eve. Tomorrow, on every calendar in the world, you can see that it's Bathtub Party Day. If you wonder, what does that mean? That's the right question. You're doing the right thing.
Sounds like a great party.
Whatever it means to you.
That I, Jason Anderson, would like to attend. Catch me, Jason Anderson, at a bathtub party tomorrow. Go KU.
Now, Beards, you were saying.
So, do you want to guess?
This has been the best bad show we've ever done.
It really is.
So, Josh.
This might be my all-time favorite show, and it has been a train wreck, but it's amazing.
Do you know what happened the year before on the previous bathtub party day on 12-5, 2017?
12-5-17.
No, I don't.
The Almost Entirely Sports Facebook comment section hosted an auction of furniture.
So the first week
How
of December.
How did those match up so perfectly?
The first week of December is always just an absolute, I would say, cluster fun. It's a fun cluster. Did you get nervous?
I'm just trying to.
If there had been water in my mouth, it would have spit all over this all over the board, and we'd have gotten a new one.
Wow.
Let's not get crazy. I had a plan for this segment, and then Jason Anderson showed up.
Yes. Nice guy. I'm happy we worked with
him. I like his Anderson. So much more than that.
You met Brian Haney?
So much more than that scumbag Brian Haney was on earlier. First hour, Brian Haney was the worst.
Listen, if you guys have Brian Haney on, just tell him that I have a bone to pick with him.
Yeah, beards. It was right there for you.
Who do you have a bone to pick with?
Brian.
One? All right, we'll see.
I don't think we've had him on yet, so I think I'm okay.
He'll be in tomorrow.
On the first hour.
He'll be in tomorrow.
He'll be back.
See him. He'll be in tomorrow, 10 to 2. You can talk to Brian Haney. I think. I'm so confused. Most people probably don't know what Jason and Brian look like, but I hope they know how they sound enough for this joke to be as fun.
Yeah.
For this true thing to be as funny for everyone else as it is for us.
Yeah.
This show's been fun. I'm having a good time.
It has been enjoyable.
We're at Topgolf. The reason that we have our parade of celebrities is because we're here for Shareway.
We got everybody. Like, I think the only person here who hasn't been on is Tysher and Lebo.
Yeah, you're right. I saw Gurley.
Yeah. Gurley is
He has not
here.
Come through. Corey that Anderson also has not talked into a microphone yet.
He's talked close enough to a microphone,
but
though.
It's out of self-preservation. Just say into this, Corey, just say into that microphone how many whiskeys on the rocks you've had tonight.
I've had enough. I've had a good time. You know, I'm just here to support the cause.
Could you get me a whiskey sour in the next 10 minutes?
I don't know if the bartender would punch me in the face if I ordered a whiskey sour or not.
Whenever you're over here a second ago, whenever you and Jason were here, whenever the full zone came over, KU loving Jason Anderson, you yelled something, and it was like someone opened a whiskey bottle in my mouth.
You know what? Like that, it tends to stick on my breath. I've only had a couple, so I don't really know why that would be. I will be rip-roaring ready to go at 10 a.m. tomorrow. And I'm just happy that I'm here to support Sharewaves. And God willing, it will be a great night, and we'll raise a lot of money for those kids.
Heck yeah.
So supporting children through the power of whiskey.
Golf.
Sports.
Golf.
Powered by golf.
I'm leaving now.
Would you like to throw us to break?
No.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I'm so confused. The comment section is moving so fast. Why are people trying to buy a couch here? What's going on?
With Joshua Briscoe.
This talk of couches and ottomans and waterbeds.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, so we're still out here at Topgolf. I'm about to sneeze. What are we talking? Go ahead.
Talking while Josh sneezes. And there's a second sneeze.
Two sneezes in a row, and we're back. That was
I handled that pretty smooth.
That was that was like the 10th weirdest thing that's happened tonight.
It's been
a good show. We will continue the goodness in about 10 minutes. We're going to, like, actually – here's the promise for the night. We're going to talk about some Chiefs football for 20 minutes with Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs and RGR Football. He'll make you smarter. If you feel like you've listened to this whole show and it's made you stupider, we're going to get back to a net zero with Ryan here in
That's what you get with us. Break even.
Yes. Welcome to Almost Entirely Sports.
Promise.
We strive to help you break even. Do you have all those baseball players up still earlier?
Yes.
This was four days ago, but Rudy asked if I had heard of who?
Zach Wheeler.
He just signed. I'd only heard his name today. He just signed a $118 million contract in the sport of baseball, and that's all I know about him. And he's going to make $100 million playing baseball. And I could not place him. If he walked by here right now, I would not give him our guest headset.
Yeah.
So give me, let's go top 10, 1 to 10. I'm going to see if I know these people.
Steven Strasburg.
These are the highest paid players in baseball. He's in that, but is he a free agent?
Yes.
So he's about to shoot back to the top of that list.
Two, Max Scherzer.
Pitcher, yes. Where?
Work.
Nationals.
There you go. Zach Greinke.
He is with the Dodgers now.
Houston.
Damn it, you're right, he is.
David Price.
It was Dodgers. Did he go to the Diamondbacks?
He had been
Dodgers?
With the, yeah, Diamondbacks.
No, he was in the World Series. I should have known that. Yeah, that one's bad.
David Price.
He's a pitcher also.
Yes.
I don't know where he is.
Boston
right
now. Red Sox.
Okay, that makes sense.
Clayton Kershaw.
Pitcher, choker, Dodger.
Miguel Cabrera.
I mean, I know who Miguel Cabrera is. This, so far, the spirit of the game hasn't been exactly on. Is he still a Tiger? I have
he
no
is,
idea.
Yeah.
All right, great.
Yoenis Cespedes.
Oh. I don't know where he's at right now. He's moved.
Is he a Met?
Is he a Met still?
He is still a
okay.
Met.
All right.
Justin Verlander.
He's an Astro also.
Albert Pujols.
He's still an Angel.
And then my favorite, Felix Hernandez.
Where is he now?
Felix Hernandez.
I don't know where he is.
He's still in Seattle.
Is he really?
He's still in Seattle.
I assumed he wasn't in Seattle anymore. Keep going until I get a name that I don't know. Just rattle off names.
Jason Hayward.
Yeah, I mean, I know who he is.
But, like, where?
I don't know.
Charlie Blackman.
Yeah. Is he a Pirate still?
He's never been a Pirate. He's a Colorado Rocky.
Yikes.
Rick Porcello.
Yeah, I know who that is. I know these are baseball names.
Eric Hosmer.
Never heard of him. The goal of this name, that one might have given me some trouble. The goal of this game was to find a baseball player who's making $200 million that I've never heard of. But I guess I've cleared enough of that bar.
Mike Trout?
Sounds like a fisherman.
Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah, that one would have gotten me. Ryan Tracy's next. You're on Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.